Hello, this is Roy Thomas, and you're listening to the Power Cosmic Podcast.
That's right, friends. You've been waiting for the podcast that talks about the things you love. Well, go no further, because you've reached the Power Cosmic Podcast. Each week, legendary Comic-Con promoter Mitch Halleck of the Terrific Con and legendary finder of lost things John Cimino of Saturday Morning Collectibles at the Raynham Flea Market, booth A89 and 90, will talk about the stuff you love. Now sit back and talk about comics, TV, movies, toys, and more. It's the Power Cosmic Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Power Cosmic Podcast, the only podcast fueled by anger and piss and vinegar this morning. We are here, it's Tuesday, May 22nd, when we're recording this, it's 8:30 in the morning. My internet's all screwed up, but you don't care about that. John's here, he's going to say hello. Say hello, John.
Our fans just need entertainment. They don't want anger. They don't want piss and vinegar. They don't want to hear the problems we have. They want action. They want comic talk. And that's what the Power Cosmic produces.
Well, there you go. Good. Fine. Do that then. Change my mind. We're going to make this fast because I got a lot of stuff to do today. Hey, let's start off before we get back into our continued conversation from last week about the greatest comic books ever. Was that last week?
No, I think it was.
No, last week we did Margot Kidder, but then it was the week before. All right, we will. But before I start, I want a real quick update on HeroClix. You and I were talking about that yesterday. That's something that's been around for, it has to be, what, 15 years now or more?
Yeah. They just had their 15th anniversary. I think they released that set. I think it was, this year. So, yeah, 15 years. And I was working in a comic shop in New Hampshire when they sent these first... There were like examples of it, and it was like a little Hulk promo. It was like in a bag. And
I had that. Wasn't it a free comic day thing they gave out?
I don't think there was free comic day.
I still have that little Hulk. I had the white ripped shirt and stuff, right?
Yes. And it was like a coming soon thing, and then the game came out. It was a little clunky for a little while, but it was a great. The reason why that game worked. Was not just it was like chess, obviously chess with like superpowers, but people could actually collect the pieces, you know, like people were collecting.
Oh, yeah. I'm more of a fan of the little sculptures than the game. I don't think we ever really played the game. My kids would have it and we would just make up our own rules because, you know, it got a little complicated there with the different powers.
And that's the problem. And just to update you on what's going on, that... The rules have changed throughout the years, and just recently, in late 2017, they once again revamped the rules to make it a little more accessible to a lot of people, because it did start getting clunky there, because they started adding so many things, and so many, it started getting crazy and all that. But I want to throw, it's funny how you brought up HeroClix, Mitchie, because I got something that ties back to the days of Hero Envy with Keith Gleason way back in the day.
What would that be, John?
One, we would, I don't know if you know this, but we would, when we used to put out those Hero Envy webisodes, that we were the first people ever, episode 5.
Ever.
To put out, like, we played the game of HeroClix on the episode, and, like, you know, we basically, it was all based behind that, we played and we got really heated competition, all that geek stuff. But that later on that year, we went to Wizard World Philly. Remember when Wizard World was on top of the world?
Yeah, I used to go there.
Yep. 2007, and the guy who was running that game at that time, his name was Seth something. He was the head creator of HeroClix. He came up to us and he gave us a bunch of limited stuff, like the big Spectre. It was a Thor figure. It was all this stuff, but he gave it to us and he said that he loved that episode. We were the first people to ever put HeroClix on the internet. Swear to God. Tell me that's not pretty cool.
That is really cool there. And now, I just said, I was in All Year Comics in Harrison, New York the other day, last Thursday, and they're going to be part of this year's show, Franco and Mark and the whole crew over there. But besides that, he was unpacking the brand new HeroClix, I think it's called Infinity War or Disinfinity? That's the new series.
Avengers, it's HeroClix. The new set that just got released was Avengers Infinity.
Now, you and I were talking about that because I started seeing some of the characters on the package, and I had to go and, you know, pinch myself because they were the most obscure, deep-cut Marvel references in there. I saw on the side of the box the Living Tribunal, which is a very cosmic-powered entity, but you're telling me they had Eternity. They have the God of Chaos and Order, the two-faced things.
Yeah, Ego Prime. Infinity they had.
They even had that giant, what's the big whale fish thing?
A Giganto in the Submariner.
The Submariner's thing. They even had the Spider-Mobile.
That's what makes HeroClix so cool. It's like they base, like, sometimes each release off, like, a storyline. And so you'll get, like, versions of Superman or Batman or what have you. They just had the Elseworlds set that got released, and then they had the What If set. So all some famous storyline pieces you get. That's what makes HeroClix so intriguing. But from a game perspective, it is really good because you can get crazy into it. And I'll admit, me, Keith, and a bunch of our friends, we used to have like Saturday nights, and we would play these big like Royal Rumbles. Everybody had a team and everybody was against each other, and it was like the last man standing. And it is fun.
But
if you know, and it can get addictive because then you start finding other pieces that you could use to make your guy better, and that just, and so it I like it for the collectability. I get pieces that I like, and that's basically it. And I do go in and out of addiction with that. And so sometimes I get in, and then sometimes I get out.
Well,
and
what about the aftermarket value? I mean, have the prices on certain things gone up?
There are some chase figures. You got to remember, there's some really rare ones amongst the sets and stuff that get a lot of money. Yeah. But the thing is, I tell people, right when the new sets come out, because they always, sets get they have there's two ages. There's the modern age and then there's the golden age, the way to play. Because new sets keep coming out and then the older sets get, you know, for tournaments and all that, they get pushed away. You can't use from this set back anymore. It's all the new sets.
They get retired.
Yeah, that's it. Retired. But so the value on these things will decrease because when the new sets come out, all those good pieces and all that, people pay big money for that. Hundreds of dollars, and, you know, because some are so rare and they But then as those sets start getting older and new sets start coming out, the prices start going down. So I tell people, if they want a piece and it costs like $150, there's a Thor piece that came out a few months ago, and people are paying $150, I tell them, just wait like a year or even a few months when it gets retired, and then the price goes down because not many people play, and all those people start selling them. Case in point, there was this Crisis. I have both of them. It's called Crisis Superman. The number of the click is 105 and 100. That 100 Crisis, he's the Superman from Crisis on Infinite Earths. That was like the first 300-point piece. It was huge. And that was going for, when it first came out, for like $300, that piece. That no piece ever went that high before in HeroClix. Yeah. But now you can look on eBay and get them for $50, you know, because nobody plays them anymore. I'll tell you this. If you're going to get the pieces, wait. If you don't care. Just buys them right away.
What do you mean no one plays them anymore? You can't just sit around with a bunch of your friends and use those pieces?
Oh, you can. But it's competitively. Like, there's all these tournaments that you play at conventions. Did you have them at CT GamerCon? You didn't have any...
That's the thing. People ask me about that, and I go, is it still popular? Is it like a cult thing now? Because
it's a regional thing. It depends the area. The areas they're big in, they're actually really big. It's just, they're just not that big in Massachusetts and Connecticut.
No, not really, because I'll go to the comic shops, and I'll see the guys sell those starter packs, and they'll have a little basic thing, but I never see people playing HeroClix around here.
No, but like I said, the regional, you go to New York, they have the big, big tournaments and all that stuff. And people, there's like the Nationals and then
really?
The World. Yeah, the Worlds.
Maybe I'll do something at Terrific Con if anybody wants to play. I got empty tables in the back. Well, they could do free play, you know?
Yeah, the free play, but the one thing you got to get is like a judge, you know, the guy that wrote the rule. That's the thing. We'll look into that. That's something that maybe you can
even... It just seems cool. Like I said, is this a collector who likes like obscure... figures? Like, I'll get some of those Marvel Legends figures because they'll come out with some really freaking weird characters you never see. And like, oh, really? They got a Deathlok figure? And I'll pick that up. Or a Moon Knight, you know, something like that. But boy, this latest set, like I said, I was online last night looking on eBay. There's Thanos. There's
you got me to buy the spider buggy.
The spider buggy. Yeah, the I don't know if it's Moon Dragon or no Devil Dinosaur and Monkey Boy. Is that what it is?
Yeah, Mitch. I'm looking at my collection right now. I have them all on my.
How TV many do you screen. Have?
I got a not a huge amount, but I have the Batcave, and that's really cool. Like, and you had to buy. There's also the
utility. Oh, they made like little playset, like dioramas.
Yeah, yeah, the big playset that actually plays. Oh, yeah, you really? Put it on the. Yeah, there's some big. There's Brainiac ship. There's these huge ships and all that stuff too.
Oh, I didn't know that. So what were those for, displays or you actually?
No, you play with them. They're actually part of the game, and that's what makes it cool. You could actually build teams that have their. And okay, so I told you, you know, I ordered because I saw it. And I always wanted it, and I never got it. Yeah. It was the Captain America's motorcycle. It looked so awesome. I had to get it.
Oh, so is this it? Do they have like the Baxter building? Did they make any big Marvel sets?
No, they never made the Baxter building because they had to stop making Fantastic Four pieces because but hopefully Fantastic Four for many years Fantastic Four hasn't come back, but he's just it's just what, it's coming
so
back.
So what are some of the places they had? Do they have like Avengers Mansion or
No, they have like the Quinjet though. They have like the shuttle, like they have so many different ships. If you go online, you can just look at all this stuff. They had they released the Batman 66 set, which was like all the 60s Batman villains and all like
that. Yeah, no, I'll see. They'll come out with like, you know, like if the Winter Soldier comes out or Ragnarok, I'll see like they'll have little 10 packs or something or 6 packs and they'll have those characters from that movie in that set.
Right.
Yeah, those I see.
But what makes playing with them so fun, they're very comic accurate. Like, the things that, the powers that they have is the stuff they did in that incarnation or what the car can do. So it's kind of cool like that. So, like, case in point, I have a Doctor Doom and a Kang figure, and they're both together, like, on the same thing. So they're together. But then a power, once you go, like, you start getting hurt and all that, like I said, every time you turn the click, new little powers and situations happen. But what there's a click on there, what they eventually have, and it's called Inevitable Betrayal. Yeah. And so you have to pick one guy or the other because one guy, you know, Doctor Doom went against Kang. Eventually he's going to go against Kang and, like, knock him out of there, and he's going to want the... So I think little things like that make it so much fun. So it is fun, yes, and like they have so many sets, they have so many vehicles. I have the Batmobile, I have you know, Alfred, but I have like the bats and all that. Like, you know, there's so many Thanoses. I even have Thanos's throne.
Yeah, I saw that last night. That's like going for 50 something bucks or more.
Yeah, but Mitch, I'll tell you, because I know you like to get into these things.
Yeah.
They can become addictive as hell. Like, you'll get
like
one
crack.
Thing, and then you'll be like, yeah, it is like crack, because you don't know what you're doing. Like, sometimes you'll just like, why am I spent? I spent last year $3,000. $3,000.
No. Yes. On HeroClix.
And then I was like, what the fuck did I do?
Yeah. What's the language? We're a morning show.
Sorry. But, I mean, come on. After I spent $3,000, I just got so addicted.
Well, like I told you, I saw they had a Fin Fang Foom, which was like, you know, 20 inches high or something. It was pretty big. I don't know how big, but.
Yeah, they had a Fin Fang Foom. They also had the Serpent. Remember from that story?
Yeah. And then they have a Sentinel, too, like a big size one.
Oh, my God, they have... Galactus. They have like
a big Galactus.
Oh, you know, yeah, and it's like, I mean, it's really interesting. So I mean,
how much does that go for?
If you look online, I think Galactus goes for like $300 because he's so
cool. Okay. And it's like a little statue. Yeah,
they're not outrageously. But see, that's the thing about these guys. You can have them for two purposes. You can play with them, but they also display pretty nice.
Right. Now, so how many people do you need to play this game? Like you and Keith. That's it.
No, yeah, you can have one, two, how many ever you want, you know?
And everybody just keeps coming in, and it's like they just like a Dungeons and Dragons thing.
Yeah, well, basically you make teams. Yeah. Every character has a number of points. The more powerful the character, the more points it has. Like, say it's a 300-point figure. So you make teams. 500-point teams, 1,000-point teams, 200, whatever, 2,000-point teams, 100-point teams. So you can build. You have to build that team accordingly. So if you want to use this figure, like, say he's 50 points, and this figure, he's 50 points. So that's 100 points, okay? And that's how you do. And then there's a lot of synergy, which basically, you know, you use a bunch of Hydra agents and they all do things together when you use them together. A bunch of S.H.I.E.L.D. agents or a bunch of, like, Justice League guys will, if they, you know, Batman and Superman are together and they have that particular power, even if he's on the other side of the board. And the maps are cool as hell, too. I'll give you that, because you have every single, like, you're fighting on Professor Xavier's lawn, or you're fighting in the backyard, or Justice League. And sometimes you can fight in space and or inside a Quinjet or whatever, but sometimes they have, like, little things that happen. Like, you know, every map might have, like, something. Oh, you can't do this if you're in this square because, you know, you're in space.
So for 15 years now, they've been making these. So how many are there all together? How many little figures are there total?
Oh, there's got to be thousands.
Really?
You got to sometimes, but to every set that comes out, there's between 70 to like 120 figures per set. So you got to think about that.
Sounds like more than there is in the Marvel Universe. It sounds like they've made everybody at this point.
Well, that's the whole thing. They just, with the Living Tribunal and all that stuff, that those were the first time you saw them. I actually bought a figure that I loved to death that I never saw a toy of ever, was Mangog, when they released Mangog.
Oh, they did? I saw the, you remember the Supreme Intelligence from the Kree?
Oh, yeah, yes, they have him in the bubble.
Yeah, there's a new one. I just saw it the other day, and I'm like, what the hell? And he has got the tentacles hanging off his head, and I'm like, what?
Yeah. And yeah, those are cool. And now they also released Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They released a Yu-Gi-Oh!
It's Pacific weird. They Rim. Never did Star Wars, did they?
No, they never did Star Wars yet. But I don't, maybe they don't have a license for them. But the good thing about that, they just released the Universal Monsters one.
Really?
So, yeah, and obviously Frankenstein works well with Dr. Frankenstein, whatever, Dr. Frankenstein works, and they have all, so like I said, there's synergy, but the great thing about that...
Wait a minute, you can't combine different licenses into groups, can you?
No, but you can't, but what they do is, it's all compatible, so if you buy the set, like of the Hero Clicks, and it's the Undead Monster set, right?
Yeah.
It's just... Okay, it's just, they just, when they release it, they just release it as, you know, Heroclix, Undead Monsters, and it's just the pack in the box of all the Undead Monsters.
Right.
And then that's it. And it's a standalone set. But the genius of it is that you can use those guys in with all, they're all compatible. So they can fight against the Marvel guys, they can
that's
fight
what
against...
I'm saying. So you could take your Teenage Turtle ones and you could put them in with the Marvel ones.
Yes, and they're all, it's all across the board. The power levels are all, so you're not going to get, like, the Shredder is going to be powerful against the two Ninja Turtles, but he shouldn't be able to take on Darkseid. No, it's not like that. And that's what makes it so cool, that you can, all the Pacific Rim guys are all colossal guys, because you know, like, how there's those big...
Oh, wait, they did that movie, too?
Yeah, two sets of them. And you can have that Pacific Rim guy versus Captain America, or Captain America and fight that. It's,
and then they do the movie versions of Captain America and those guys, or it's just the
comic book tons ones? Of those. Every time a movie comes out, right. Like they'll release a movie set. Like
now, do they have exclusives? Because I see these at like Target on the way out the door.
Those exclusive ones. Usually the ones that you see in Target and stuff are the ones that are based on the movies and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
To get the big sets and all that stuff, you gotta get them at your comic stores or specialty outlets.
Now, do you sell these at the random flea market every week?
Well, I'll tell you this. This is the funny thing. As you know, when we went to Plastic City, I got this ginormous collection of Heroclix.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to sell, and a bunch of boosters and everything. And though I did sell a few, I couldn't get rid of it because there's not much... I mean, let's be honest, we're in Cape Cod, you know, and there's not many people playing strategy games there. And so I had it for almost a year that I couldn't really sell this. So when I went to Plastic City, I sold off everything to That's Entertainment in Worcester because they have tournaments and all that. And I gave them an unbelievable price. Now think about this. All these figures, expensive figures, it was crazy. I sold it to him for a great price. 2 days later, this new set comes out, and I'm like, I'm back into HeroClix. Oh, no. So I had to go back and buy all those figures, bunch of figures I wanted that I sold that I freaking wanted. How bad is that?
That is pretty bad. Now, what's the most valuable HeroClix do you know of? What's the one figure that's like the ultimate besides that Superman one you talked about?
Yeah, the most valuable one. I mean, there are some figures. Like, I'll tell you. The Kingdom Come figures, which I have all of them.
Oh, really? The Alex Ross, Mark Waid?
Yes, and they got and they look so good. Those were going for like $100 a pop, $100, and some they're going up to $150.
Really?
Now they're about in the 80 range, 100 range.
Each figure?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, for a little tiny thing that's about an inch high.
Yeah, the Green Lantern ones. There's not really many that go. Into like
there's not like there's a golden one or anything like they make
the most they go is like maybe $150.
Yeah, that's still a lot for a little piece of plastic, you know.
But they have convention exclusives, like San Diego Comic-Con always puts out convention. Last year there was on Free Comic Day they released a Juggernaut. It was the What If. I don't remember. You remember that What If nine from the 90s when Professor X became the Juggernaut?
The What Ifs towards the end weren't the best. I think I remember.
Right, but they released that figure for Free Comic Day last year.
Oh, all right. And what's the we said the most valuable one there is. What's the cheapest one? You can buy one for a dollar or two?
You can, like, those older ones, like, from those first sets, because they're so irrelevant and stuff, that you can buy, like, ton, like, bags.
What if I'm, like, a collector? Like, I like my Captain America, and I just want to focus on just the Cap ones. I want to go get a collection. I could go out there and probably
buy 30 of them? I'm sure there's a ton more of those Captain Americas. But what I do for my collection, I get the best piece of the version of that character. So let's just say, like, the Captain America I have, I have the best Captain America you can get. And I'll always upgrade it. Like, if a better Captain America comes out, I'll get that one. Like, and that's how I do it. I have, like, the best Spider-Man, the best... So I pay the premiums. I usually get the chase figures or the ones that are really good the ones that play. So that's the best thing.
Did you keep, of course, you're a big Hulk nut. Did you keep every single Hulk one that came
out? No, I actually have all the best Hulks. I have a few of the Hulks, but I have the best one that just came out in this Avengers Infinity set. It's freaking awesome. He's a colossal. He's so big, and he just destroys everything.
Go back. What's a colossal? That's one that's bigger than normal?
Yeah, there's
I mean, is it scaled? Guy. I mean, if you put them next to each other, would the Hulk be like a proportionate? Would it be like a 7-foot Hulk compared to a 6-foot Steve Rogers, or it's even
bigger? They are loosely. Like some are a little bit smaller than others, but yeah, they got it almost right. Like, here's a cool one. Like, one of the first Ant-Man pieces, right? All it was the little base. Because you couldn't see the Ant-Man. It was just the base, and it said Ant-Man.
Oh, really? Oh, that's kind of funny.
And the Atom, too, was one, too. He's so small that you can't even see him. I thought that was really cool. But
so go back to that Hulk. Why is that new Hulk Colossal so cool?
Well, it's just like, they just made him he shouldn't be colossal, but it's just like his damage, his reach and his damage that he can do is just so much that they try to like make it like, okay, we're going to make him this big because he does so much damage. So because a power that he has is when he's moving, he destroys everything in his path. So you have to put down those like markers that all these, so if it's a wall there or if he's walking through something, wherever he's going, he's destroying everything he's walking through.
Oh,
so
cool.
Yeah, so having a big base and making him that big makes it, it's like you have to use your imagination. Is he really colossal? No, but the damage he's doing is colossal damage. Do you get it?
Yeah, you know, I get you. Now, like with everything, toys, comics, and all the things we love so much when we're in our 40s and 50s, were these originally designed for kids, but they, what's the average age? This gravitating?
No, I've seen 6-year-olds play. No, it's probably from 10 and up because there's a lot involved. But I've seen 6-year-olds play, and to tell you what, when I do my cardio, sometimes I'll watch the championship teams. Like I'll watch games.
Oh, they have it on YouTube and stuff.
Yeah, they have like the and I just like to see how they play and. Like, the geeks that are...
Oh, wait, so it's not just random luck. You have to, like, think it out and strategy?
No. There's players in the world that are, like, so good.
Really? Because,
yes, it's crazy. Like, yeah, and then they have sealed tournaments. That's the best way to play because I did that last year. I went to a comic store, and me and a bunch of friends, you go to a store, and you all pay for a booster, right?
Yeah.
And you all pick a booster pack, and then you pick one figure from that pack, and then you have to pass it. And then you pass it, and the next guy comes until you make a team. So sometimes if you can get a real powerful guy, you can go far. And then you have a tournament against, like, all... They called it sealed, the sealed tournaments,
yeah.
Because, like, it has to do with that set. When you play, like, the big tournaments, like, you know, sometimes, like, they call them the Golden Age, you can make teams and from different sets and all that stuff. So right now across the country, like, that Avengers Infinity Sealed tournaments are all going on.
Yeah, no, and then I saw these other things last night. Did they add some new type of discs to the thing where you could add on to your guy, make him more powerful, or is that...
There's always little things that you can do. Like, there's always, like, little fun things that enhance. I'll tell you, Mitch, I don't understand why you've never gotten any of the Cap figures, but if you start looking at that stuff,
I will. Yeah, it's one more thing to spend the kids' college education on. No, I think what my son's played, my son Owen was into Halo, the video game, and he bought all the little figures because they came out with a Halo version of, I'm pretty sure it was HeroClix.
Yeah.
And they had trading cards with it. Because I remember, it was just, I think he was too young.
It's not trading cards, though, Mitch. It's a power card. Like you can
power
see
card,
what
yeah. And you would tell you what the guy's rating was and how much strength and all that he had. Right?
Yeah. And they even made, I know you're not going to like me to say this, but they even made like a Motley Crue set and an Iron Maiden set.
Oh, they made, really?
Yeah, there's Eddie. In all different incarnations, and they all do all different stuff.
Did they make a Kiss set?
No, that's surprised. They hadn't made Kiss yet. Maybe they can't get the license. But I did think that was kind of cool with Eddie. Like, you know how he, on the cover of those Iron Maiden
the zombie guy.
So each one does a different thing, and I thought that was... But he can be... You can have Eddie versus Captain America.
Oh, wow. And I think they've made Walking Dead, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's a lot.
Did they ever do Planet of the Apes?
No, not Planet of the Apes. See, the thing is, I just follow, you know me, I follow just the Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
But they have, I think there's a total of...
No, go look, I'm sure they must have done Star Trek or something, no?
Oh, yo, there you go right there. Yeah, they just did this bunch of the Star Trek. And they're kind of funny, too, because, like, you know, there's like three different spots. One has the Nerf pinch, you know?
Yeah.
It does that stuff, and I mean, it's really accurate. So that's the greatest thing about this stuff. It's like the people who are making it know the characters, so you get, when you're playing with them, it's like, yes, it feels like that character.
Oh, because they're like really fanboys. I mean, they get all the minutia.
Yeah, and even you know what when they can do a certain power, like on those cards, you read the quote, and it's like a quote from the comic or whatever. So
no, that's cool. And the thing I always liked about them, they're so small; they don't take up a lot of space. Because that's the problem with a lot of my stuff; it's too big, you know.
Yeah, I just got last year the convention exclusive. I had to pay. I got it from Germany because before it hit the States, because I get crazy with this stuff. I paid about almost $80 for this stupid thing because of shipping and all that. But it was the Doomsday figure, and this Jerry Ordway would love it because it's the best one they ever made because it plays really cool, and I love how the sculpts have gotten so much better. Like those look good.
Those guys should be credited. I know a guy named Paul Harding, and he's a sculptor for those DC Direct and a lot of action figures. A lot of those like molds that you'll see for. Banks and all that stuff. This guy makes all that. And He was at my show years ago when we did a show. I produced one at the Trumbull Marriott, and he had a booth. He's a brilliant artist, but the thing of it is, as I was saying, it just shut down for a real quick second. There might be a glitch when you hear it. I was saying Paul Harding is one of the sculptors for the big DC Direct toys, so I don't even know who these guys are that make these in miniature. I suppose with that 3D printing technology now, they probably make bigger ones and then shrink it down or something?
They would have to, but they're all hand-painted, too.
I know. I've seen that, too. Like, there really is a lot of detail on these things for something so small.
Well, the one thing I know, look at the symbols. Like, have to have that. I don't know how they do it because it's so perfect, and I'm sure for licensing, the S
You're breaking up here.
Oh, can you hear me now?
You said something about the symbols. What'd you say?
Yeah, the symbols, like, are incredibly accurate. And I don't know if they do that with laser printing or what, but like, the Superman's S always has to look like the Superman's S, without a doubt.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they do that, because the Batman bat symbol is absolutely flawless.
And there's no electronic ones. They don't have, like, a light-up bat signal or anything, right?
Oh, no. But the funny thing is, there is a bat symbol piece that you can get that There's a came out, too, that, like, has all these explosive stuff.
Oh, see. Well,
yeah, there's so many.
I wanted to keep it short today because I got a lot going on. We talked 30 minutes. We were supposed to talk about other stuff, but it was a 30-minute HeroClix education here today on the Power Cosmic podcast. You could talk about it for hours, it sounds like.
Well, I got to admit, it is fun. And if you ever play it, one day we're going to have to sit back and play it. It can become crazy addictive.
I'm gonna go out and get the spider buggy piece and a couple other. They even had Cosmo, the little Russian dog there from the Guardians of the Galaxy. I like that.
Yeah, they even have how about this one? They have a Spider-Man and his Amazing Friends set, and it comes with Ms. Lion.
Oh, really? See, wow, that is reaching. That is out there.
Yeah,
that is really obscure. I'm trying to think of the they got obviously MODOK, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Do they have Vermin, the guy that was in the Kraven's Last Hunt? They do?
They have Vermin. They have a Dracula. And who's the
Mobius, the living vampire?
Yeah, there's so many.
Wait, is there a Killraven one?
Yeah.
Really? Come on.
Yeah, I think so. Just
Deathlock? I'm trying to think. Is there a 3D man?
I don't know if there's a 3D man.
Ah, see, got you. That one, that would be something for Roy.
Hold on, I'm going to look it up. 3D man for HeroClix. I
bet there's not.
All right, let's see. Amazing. There's an Eye of Agamotto. Dr. Octopus's arms. Like, oh my God. No, there's. I don't think there's a 3D man.
All right, well, if HeroClix is listening, we demand a 3D man.
Oh, there is a 3D man!
Damn it!
O13B HeroClix. He comes from the Avengers Assemble set. He's for only for $2.
You got to get that for Roy.
Yeah, 3D man. There he is.
Right. Yeah, this is Nova Corps and all that. I'm sure they're all there.
They're all there. Oh, yeah?
All right. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. A brief history of the world of HeroClix on the Power Cosmic, episode number 98. We're closing in on the big 100 episode. God knows what we're going to do for that. We might have to, like, take a week off and prepare or something. let's see any announcements for Terrificon today. It's old favorite week. We've got Billy Tucci coming back. We've got Barry Kitson, Mike Zeck, John Beatty, and Sam Flash Gordon Jones will all be added to the website this week. It's flashback week. So there you go. It's all returning favorites. That's all I got. I got to get going. I got to take my kid out, and he's looking for a job for the summer. He's out of school, and there's a big comic book sale if you're in Connecticut at the Black Cat Comic Book Shop. All comics $1. Check it out. He's moving out some back issues or something, blowing them out. You got anything going on?
And that's that.
And that's that. This has been a production of Big Fedora Marketing, LLC, the folks that bring you the terrific Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.